the world hates Jesus, and they crucified him, and they said, away with him. We have no king but Caesar. Whosoever makes himself a king is speaking against Caesar. We don't want him. Crucify him. He went back to the Father because he was rejected by the world.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse through the Bible. Jesus teaches about the Holy Spirit as our study of John continues in chapter 16. Here's Pastor Bob.
Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. We're not in Jesus Christ, we are dead branches. We cannot produce fruit, lasting, eternal fruit, without being in the vine, Jesus Christ. We must be born again. Jesus says this, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. All of us will bear witness, but he's specifically at that point, not just talking about us, but those 11 that are still there. And remember, this is how we ended last time we got together. If there would be anyone who would have seen any flaws or any problems in Jesus Christ, it would have been those who were with him from the very beginning of his ministry, 24/7, every day, day in and day out, for a little over 3.5 years. If there would be anything, they could have pointed it out. And each one of them has the same testimony. They testified that he is the very Son of God, the Son of the living God. They testified of the miracles that he had done. They saw a man who had never seen. He was born blind, and Jesus gave him his sight, and instantly that man was healed. And of course, the Jewish leaders wanted to kill Jesus because of that. They wanted to put him to death. They couldn't deny he had done a miracle, so they said, okay, he didn't do it by the power of God, he did it by the power of the devil. You see, they couldn't deny the miracles. Even his enemies said he did miracles. So with all of that, Jesus continues to teach us. Chapter 16, verse 1. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be offended, or so that you're not offended. They shall put you, we talk about them. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, time cometh, that whosoever kills you will think that he or she or they are doing God a service. And so when he says certain things, you say, yeah, no big deal. But it was a big deal to them. Here's what I mean. They were all Jewish men. To the Jews, to God's chosen people, they were waiting for Messiah to come to this earth and set up his kingdom. He's going to set up his kingdom. And what's he going to do? He's going to boot Rome out of the way, and he will sit on the throne. So that's what they're expecting. He's the Messiah. They're looking for the Messiah. They want the Messiah. He will rule and reign for eternity. Jesus is the Messiah. And is he? Yes, he is. But he's just told them tonight that, no, he's not going to sit on the throne tonight or even tomorrow morning. Instead of setting up his kingdom, even though he's the Messiah, he says he's going to the cross, he's going to die, he's going to rise again, and then he's going to go back to heaven to the throne of his Father. He's going back to the Father's house. Well, that doesn't register with them. They missed it. They can't grasp it. That's all they know is he's king. He's going to sit on the throne. We're with you, Lord. I'm leaving. What do you mean you're leaving? Where are you going? I'm going to my Father's house. No, no, you're not. You're the Messiah, and you're going to stay here and be king. But how about this? I've told you these things before all of it, so that you don't become disheartened, so you don't give up, so that you don't get confused or disillusioned. Now, to the Jew, to you, it's not this way, and you and me, because we're not Jewish. But to the Jew, a true Jew that wants to follow God, the worst thing that can happen to the Jew is that they be permanently put out of the synagogue. To the Jew, there's only one way to worship the Lord. When that temple is active, you've got to bring the sacrifice, the holy day, the great Yom Kippur, the holy great day of atonement, and all the different festivals. And if you sin, you have offer a sin offering. And you have to do that, you've got to be a part of the synagogue, a part of the body, and you've got to be at the temple. Well, if you're put out of the synagogue, that means what? You're basically no longer Jewish. You're no longer welcome. You can't go to heaven. You can't do anything. You can't obey the word of God. You're breaking the law instantly. Plus, not only would you be put out of the synagogues, and that's got to scare his disciples a little bit. They're still as Jewish as they were 10 minutes ago. That's frightening them. They're confused, and you'll see he's going to mention it. It's bothering them, the things that he's saying. Plus, they're going to put you to death. I don't even like that, do you? I mean, those 11 going, hold it. I didn't sign up for that kind of gig. You just said, come on and make you fishers of men. And what? Death? I didn't do nothing. Yes, you did. You gave your life to Jesus Christ. You are now on the enemy's list. Put to death. There will be those who will put you to death thinking that that's what God wants them to do. Well, how about verse 3? We're screaming through this. And these things they will do, not they might, or I hope they don't, but just in case, they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. Remember, it wasn't that they could not know him, it's that they did not want to know. You've talked to non-believers where you work or go to school. We talk to them, and what do they say? I don't want to hear it. Well, wait, I just want to tell you what the Bible says. I think it'll encourage your heart. I don't want to hear it. That's just garbage. I don't care. I don't want that. You see, that's the way they were. They're going to do these things to you because they have not known the Father nor me, but these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you. When it actually starts happening to you, you'll go, boom, wait a minute. Jesus said we would be treated this way. Jesus said that's the way the world would think. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning. Why? Because I was with you. Okay, that's not confusing. Listen closely. They will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. They've refused to hear. I don't want to hear the word of God. I don't want to talk about Jesus. That's just not my thing. I don't want to be around it. Religion is just nothing to me. We're not talking religion. We're talking Jesus Christ rising from the dead, sitting at the right hand of the Father. It's not religion. It's a relationship. You can have a relationship with the one true God by grace through faith alone. I don't want it. I just don't want that. So it's not that they can't. It's that they literally choose not to hear it. That's what Jesus is saying. They'll do these things because they've not known the Father or me. Psalm 95, I'll read you a couple of verses. Verses 8 through 10, Psalm 95. Harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long I was grieved with this generation, and I said, listen closely, and I said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. That's what Jesus is saying here. These things they will do because they have not known the Father and me. If you don't know the Father, you really don't know the Father's ways. You don't know Jesus Christ. And people say, well, I heard someone told me in the Bible it says this, this. And I like to tell people, really? Let's go look and see. Do you know where? No. And I look it up and show them, nowhere in the Bible does it say that. Nowhere ever. Here's what I love about Jesus. He lets them know what the future holds. Before we get it, if you read the Bible, you know what's coming. You know it. You may not know the day or the hour. You may not be able to put it on your timeline and your big living room timeline thing, but you know what's coming. You know there's an Antichrist coming. We know it. We see it. It's coming. Coming out of the European Union, out of the former Roman Empire, revived Roman Empire. There it is. It's all set up, ready to go. And that was written 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, and that was 2,700 years before right now. And we're watching it take place. He tells you the future before it happens. So that when it does, you could say, you know, my Lord said that. My Lord told me to be looking for this. My Lord said, this is how they'll think. This is how they're going to be. And they are. So listen closely. He lets them know what the future holds. But he says, you know, I didn't tell you this before. And you go, well, why not? The world's hatred and anger. Listen, I didn't tell you this while we were walking together. He mentioned a couple of things, but he said, I didn't tell you this like I'm telling you right now. The world's hatred and the world's anger was directed at Jesus only. Oh, they didn't like his disciples, but who did they want to get rid of? He says, I'm telling you this now because I didn't need to when I was with you.
But now,
I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you is asking me, where are you going? Well, they already said where you're going. He said, I'm going to my Father's house, remember? He'd been talking to him quite a while now. He says, I'm going my way to him who sent me. Who's that? The Father sent him. He's going back to the throne room. He's going back to God the Father. And none of you ask, where am I going? But because I said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Christian, put that together. Because the disciples are just exactly like us. And listen closely. Jesus here, verse 5 and 6, points out that he realizes the disciples right now are very afraid and very confused. I would go completely confused. They are so upset by the fact that he's talking about dying. They are so upset that they're losing him. Listen, they're consumed with that thought alone. That's all that's going on in their hearts and minds right there. They're confused, they're afraid, and here's what I'll tell you, the same thing you and I think. They're going, we followed you and we've been following you. What are we going to do? Where are we supposed to go? We quit our lives. We gave up our lives. We were headed that way. Now we're walking with you, and you're telling us every day what we're supposed to do, where we're headed, how we're going to do it. You're going home. What about me? That's where their hearts were, everybody. That's where our hearts get, don't they? On your regular average day, when all of a sudden they say the government's going to close and you may not get paid. And you go, Lord, what do I do? And it's not bad unless it closes for a long time. Or, you know, they're talking about layoffs at work. Lord, none of us could afford it, but I can't afford that. Lord, I got to have a job. Lord, don't let me, right? All of a sudden, we're focused on the most important person in the world, me. Well, what about me? What happens to mine? What if I can't? Listen, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. It's good. This is a good thing. You're seeing it wrong or wrongly, but it's a good thing. You see, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. That's supposed to make me happy. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He's already told them, but he's reminding them again. The truth is it is expedient for you that I go to my Father. Expedient. It's good. It's beneficial. It's profitable. It's valuable for you. This is good for you. You're going to love it. If I don't go, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Comforter, will not come. That was the proof that Jesus went to the throne room and not to Venus or Mars or some other spot. The proof was on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given. That proved to them that, yes, we saw him alive. And where did he go? He is at the right hand of the Father because the Holy Spirit was sent from there. Proof that he rose from the dead and he was sitting at the right hand of the Father. So verse 8, and when he has come, the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. The devil's judged. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of guilt, of sin, of righteousness and of judgment. Think about it. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. What sin? The sin of unbelief. Refusing to or failing to believe on Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross at Calvary. The Holy Spirit does that. His death, his burial, his resurrection from the dead. Most people will not readily admit to being guilty of sin. They won't. Listen, here's what they'll say. I've made mistakes. Well, a mistake is 2 + 2 = 7. A sin is something completely different. Sin is directly against God. A mistake is, oh, I thought it was Thursday and it was Friday and I missed that appointment. That's a mistake. Well, that's what people are willing to admit. Oh, yeah, I made plenty of mistakes. I made mistakes. I hear that a lot, don't you? They'll admit failures, but they don't readily or quickly admit to being guilty of sin. They'll admit their failures, their mistakes, their vices. Well, yeah, I'm kind of hooked on a few different kind of drugs and things, but I'll get through it, right? They'll admit that. They'll admit even their crimes, but not their sin. And why? I'll tell you why. Because sin is directly against God. True? David committed murder. He committed adultery. He lied. He cheated. He sneaked. He did it all. And when he confessed, read Psalm 51. I've sinned against you and you alone. Why? Because only God will judge sin. And most people don't believe there's a God. And see, that's what the Holy Spirit is there to do. The people believed Jesus was unrighteous. They believed. That's why they said, crucify him. The Holy Spirit convicts of righteousness, we just read. Not just sin, but righteousness. The Spirit convicts men of their faulty view, men and women, mankind, of their faulty views of Jesus. And the gospel points out the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the righteous. It helps us realize we're not righteous. Sin, and he convicts of righteousness. Jesus Christ is righteous. Also, the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, convicts the world of coming judgment. The world can see. The world is looking around right now and sees no good end to what's coming. The fact that the Holy Spirit is in the world proves, when he talked about the devil, judgment, verse 11, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Listen to this. The fact that the Holy Spirit is in the world now proves that the devil was defeated and condemned at the cross of Jesus Christ. How does it prove it? Because Jesus died, was buried, rose again on the third day, and 40 days later after that, he ascended to the Father. The proof of that is the Holy Spirit has been given. You have the Holy Spirit. Verse 12, I have still, or yet, many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. You can't handle it. Your heart condition is such that you need to get a grip. They're just confused and brokenhearted. He says, but howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever or whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Jesus had so much more to teach his disciples, but they're too focused on their feelings and what's going on in their hearts and lives. He says, you can't hear it right now. Their own hearts, they can't, what, could I use the word? They can't digest anymore right now. They can't take in anymore right now. It's too much. The Lord Jesus, our Lord, never overwhelmed his disciples with teaching. He knew just what to give them and then back off and say, think about it. And if you have questions, of course, they had many questions. He never overwhelmed his disciples with teaching. You have young kids, and they get a little bit older, and you're trying to teach them everything, and you kind of stop and say, I don't know if she's really getting this now. Let's just back off a little bit, give her some time, give him some time. They got to digest. They got to walk in it a little bit, basically. And he's doing that to his boys. The teaching of our Lord began as they walked with him and this night that we're sitting with him right here. And it will be continued by God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. When the Spirit of the truth has come, he says, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit, he'll only say and teach what the Father and Son tell him to say and teach. What he gets directly from Jesus and what he gets directly from the Father. He will also tell you things to come. He'll tell you the future too. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts, isn't he? Saying, you can see what's coming. I've already told you. Go ahead, walk. You know, draw near and walk. You see troubles coming. If you can't see troubles coming, look at the news tomorrow. So, two verses and we're done. He, Holy Spirit, shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, or that's why I said that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. We'll stop there. All things that the Father has are mine. He is co-equal with God, Jesus is reminding us. Therefore, or that's why I said the Holy Spirit will take of mine and show it to you. Jesus says this, the Holy Spirit will bring glory to me, taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Dr. Wolford writes this, the Spirit works in our hearts and our minds so that we could perceive, understand, and teach about our Savior, Jesus Christ. God's Holy Spirit works in my life and yours so that we can perceive, learning, growing, understand, and teach others about our Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Ironside writes this one, God's Holy Spirit opens up the riches of God's grace and love and teaches us the wealth of the realm over which Christ has set and which we are to share with him. You can walk by the power of God's Holy Spirit. You can walk with the Lord by grace through faith. And the Holy Spirit will teach us. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. We have an advocate, a defense attorney with the Father. Whenever the devil brings up your name, Jesus says, it's paid. That's mine. This one's mine. She's mine. He's mine. They belong to me. Jesus is getting his boys and you and me ready to trust and to walk. He says, it's good that I go. Holy Spirit will come and your training will continue. You're going to grow. You're going to trust. You're going to start to realize that even the bad times are good in Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.